you have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, business coach at Draughton Customers Business Coaching and author of The Bold Business Book. Today we are welcoming slash preparing to learn from Brad Zog of Zero Res Carpet Cleaners of Madison. How are you doing today, Brad?
I'm great. Thanks a lot.
Awesome. So you own Zero Res Carpet Cleaners or Cleaning?
Zero Res Madison Carpet Cleaning, yep.
Gotcha. Okay, and that's franchise?
Yes, it is, yep.
Awesome. Can you tell me what made you decide to get into carpet cleaning?
Well, I was, I had purchased Brava magazine. I owned Brava magazine for about 7 years.
Sure.
And I needed to do something in addition to that.
Okay.
So I was looking at a lot of different franchises. I probably looked at a couple dozen different franchises.
Oh, wow.
At least.
All right.
And my brother kept telling me, you have to come see this Zero Res company in Minneapolis.
Sure.
And I'm like, I'm not so sure. In Minneapolis, that's a long way away.
Sure.
And it sounds like a silly name. I don't get it. So he kept telling me this, and I had more and more of the my research on the other franchises kind of flame out. I said, sure, I'll come up. I'll take a look. And then I got hooked. It was I was really excited. I spent the day on a truck with the guys up there, and there were people that hadn't had their they were willing to wait 3 or 4 weeks to get this company to clean their carpet. So we're like, oh, something
wow.
cool is going on here.
Sure.
So I got hooked on the technology, got really excited about it.
Okay.
And kind of went from there.
So does your brother have a franchise?
He does not. He just got his carpets cleaned by Zero Res.
Gotcha.
They're in my neighborhood all the time. You gotta check these guys
all
out.
Right.
So it's like, all right, I don't know. So
sure. So what are some of the other franchises that you poked at, or what are some of the maybe
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that, and I really can't remember. Plus, a couple I did remember, I don't really want to say because I don't want to say like why I didn't.
Sure.
Know,
were they all in carpet cleaning?
Oh, no. Just all the other basic franchises you'd be familiar
so
with.
So restaurants.
I was wide open to everything.
Okay.
A little limited by money, so I was wide open
sure.
to things that were affordable for me.
Right.
And I looked at a variety of different ideas.
Okay.
So.
Nice. So how long have you had this franchise now?
It's going to be 7 years in September.
Is it really?
So yeah, a long time.
Holy cow.
So I ran it concurrently with Brava for several years.
Okay.
Sold, and then I really needed to pick a path.
Sure.
And yep. It was very difficult to do. And I was probably putting undue stress on my on the people at Brava.
Sure.
They were great people working there.
Right. So. Nice. So far, everything's cool or happy, or what have been some of the challenges that you've run into?
Everything's going great, but there, of course, have been a lot of challenges along the way.
Sure, sure.
So they're getting to be less and less as I've kind of taken some lumps and figured some things out along the way. But in general, it's been going great.
Sure. You have employees?
I have about, I have 8 employees.
Okay.
Yep. So,
and has that been a challenge at all?
Great team of people, really hardworking, great guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an office manager also. She's
sure.
She's great. yeah, I think employees, managing people is probably the biggest challenge a lot of people have. And I'm certainly one of them.
I'm right there with you.
It's so and that's when you have the employees. So trying to find employees now, as everybody knows, is
sure
makes it doubly hard. So
sure,
it's been really, really difficult to find good people, and then when you have them, it's just challenging. I'm always thinking people should think and act like I do,
mm-hmm.
and it's always a surprise to me when they don't. So
right?
You know, I've got a very self-centered view of the world, and so it's I'm constantly being educated on how to manage people.
Sure.
So
I can completely agree with that. Yeah, 1,000%, especially with the, what doesn't the world think like I do? I feel like the world would be a better place if it did. I guess
it'd be a dangerous place. It'd be a dangerous
right?
place.
That's why I think the way I do, right? Or likewise. So are there some secrets that you found in regards to training or things that you've learned in regards to training some of the employees that you've had?
No, I don't. I wish there was. Well, I've got the same secret everyone has. If you hire the right people on the front end, then mm-hmm. you've just made that job 90% easier.
Sure.
So that's the challenge. So okay. we, work hard to hire the right people on the front end. Mm-hmm. And so we just look for, they don't need to have training when they come to us. So sure. we just look for good people that have a positive attitude, and then we'll train them.
So if you had to choose between hiring for personality versus skill set or experience, which would you choose?
Personality.
Okay. Because you could train skill set and all
right.
that kind of stuff. Okay.
Right. So for us, it takes a while to train. It may sound surprising, but it does take a while to train. But still, we want to have a good-hearted person is going to make customers happy. And
sure.
that makes us successful if customers are happy.
Sure. So I can tell you that I myself, and I'm assuming most of the listeners here, have a degree of knowledge in regards to carpet cleaning. Like, we know that there's carpets, we know that we walk on them, so they must get dirty. But in regards to starting or running a carpet cleaning business, there must be more to it than just a carpet shampooer and a guy, right? So can you walk us through what you had to get in order to start your business?
Well, first of all, I didn't want to be in this business if it was just going to be a Me Too company. I didn't really want to be in any business if it was just going to be a Me Too commodity.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean,
sure.
You want to sell... I've always was working with the best products, mm-hmm. and I prefer to do that. So found this company had a unique selling point. They've got a patented system, and super excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
They're using empowered water instead of soaps or detergents. And they're national franchise, so all the other franchises were going gangbusters, so it looked like a great deal to get into. So
sure.
And it has been.
Okay.
And your question again was...
What did you have to get? Oh, like, I imagine there was a truck, there was cleaning
stuff.
Yeah,
so there was a lot of new things for me. It was, I've got the vans are about $80,000 a piece.
$80,000?
Yeah, so, and then we have the big machine that makes the water, so we carry our own water with us.
Okay.
And so there's different challenges with that. If I get a van that's stuck in the mud...
Right.
It can't stay there overnight, and when it's freezing weather,
oh, sure.
So I got one stuck on Christmas Eve, got stuck in the mud. I'm hip deep in the mud myself. I'm thinking I'm not getting out of the mud. I had to pay five times more for the emergency truck to come pull my van out of the mud.
Sure, because of weight.
Because of the water can't. Oh, why did it get stuck in the mud?
Or why did it? Well, that and how come it cost five times as much?
Because it was Christmas Eve.
Oh, sure.
So that person didn't want
to. Santa's coming. I don't
right.
have time to tow your van.
Right, right. So we can't. So we have to have all our vans inside. So a lot
okay.
of people have their vans outside, which
sure.
is easier, cost less. Have our vans inside, water can't freeze.
Okay.
Also, I'm not super mechanically minded.
Okay.
So I've gotten to I'm able to change the oil on these vans myself.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of other things like greasing Zerks and
sure.
and fixing water pumps and things like that. I'm not
okay.
I'm not that great at yet.
Sure.
And maybe I'll never be great at it, but it's
do you want to be?
I know it's everything's a little bit interesting to me. I hate
sure.
not being able to do it or
right.
know why it's, not working.
But sure. That's fair.
Thankfully we're buying new equipment and keeping it maintained, so we don't have a lot of those issues.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, mechanical stuff, that was a challenge. Financially, I had a challenge. I, coming out of the gate, I was having a hard time finding, I knew I wasn't going to get funding right away, but 2 years in,
yeah,
I brought my financials to about five different institutions and was rejected. And then I was
really?
Like, boy, I just open my soul up here with all my financials to
yeah.
people all around the city.
Yeah.
And it's kind of embarrassing. And then I got, and to get rejected on it, which I was kind of surprised at.
Did they give you reasons?
Not totally. Just
okay.
not. Doesn't meet their parameters.
Sure.
So
the vaguest no in the world.
So, well, and I've got some other friends in business too, and they had extremely hard time getting loans for businesses that were... There were great businesses.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to get the, it seems like, and this is my own impression, it seems like the banks are, you know, super cautious and super tight when you really need it. And then when you don't need it, they're just overwhelmingly available.
Sure. Yep. So. How many wheelbarrows of money do you want?
Right. Right. So my first couple of vans I got, I was able to get them, but I was getting the financing at 15%, which was, so that's,
all right. That's a big nut.
Yeah. So if you don't have a lending relationship or a way to, you know, to borrow money at some reasonable rate, that's,
Takes away from the bottom line.
Behind the eight ball, right? So I didn't go into that completely blind, nor, I didn't go in underfunded.
Sure.
But, it was a little bit closer than I expected.
Sure.
So I probably didn't budget it as accurately as I could have.
Sure.
So I was not underfunded, but I was.
At 15% interest, I can imagine. There, so. Yeah, that's so. That's, I don't know, double what I thought it would be.
Right. Right. Double what it should be.
Yeah.
At least double what it should be. The other interesting thing about the business is the scheduling for service business.
Oh, sure.
So we've got quite a broad service area.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. It goes from the Dells down to Janesville and Dodgeville to Waterloo.
Okay.
So, but the scheduling is, it's a very complicated, It's kind of like a Rubik's Cube that constantly is moving as you're trying to put the pieces in place. It switches the game up on you.
So sure.
Somebody cancels, somebody decides to reschedule on a different day. You don't you come in the morning and someone's got the flu, the whole family's got the flu, they can't get their carpets clean that day. And your beautiful schedule is now kind of completely out of whack.
Sure.
So that's another thing that I'm not super good at, but I've got our office administrator, she's excellent at that.
Sure.
But that was another challenge. Early on, I had to do much of these things primarily on my own. So,
sure.
So that was something that was not what I was used to either. So.
No, I understand. I mean, a schedule has a lot of moving parts. You have the fact that windshield time, your technicians, you are paying them, but they are not getting paid by a client.
Right.
Or you as a company aren't making any money that way. So you want to schedule them close. And then you got the employees themselves. Are they showing up or are they calling in sick? You have customers. Are they calling in sick, so to speak? Or,
right.
Or even I imagine if it's the other end of the scale where they're adding stuff, which is great, but they're like, hey, we wanted a few rooms cleaned. And oh, by the way, since you're here, do you mind doing our neighbor's house or whatever?
Right. Well, so that doesn't happen that often, but they'll
sure.
people will add things on. And that's why the service window is a little bit bigger. And
sure.
things happen that you're not from, you know. Don't know about when you're going out the door.
Right.
The guys don't really call in sick, so that's.
Well, that's good. That's super awesome.
I mean, they're. I mean, this is salt of the earth, hard-working people. They, you know,
very cool
with a lot of pride. So they don't,
sure.
They really don't call in sick. So
that's awesome.
It is awesome.
Awesome. Very cool. So then you had to get some vans, and this $80,000 number that blows my mind. Is that for the van itself, or is that the van and whatever equipment?
No, it's for the van, and you got to get it wrapped.
Okay,
you know, that's a little bit.
Sure.
We used the guy you know.
Sure.
So van, get it wrapped.
Yep.
The cleaning equipment in it, it's you know, top of the line stuff. So that's another $35,000 for the cleaning. The cleaning unit.
Okay.
So the cleaning, the big heavy cleaning unit that.
Sure.
Powers the suction and provides the water under pressure.
So it's got pumps and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's $35,000, and then all the other equipment that goes in and
sure.
plus the build out, and then you've got to get a Linex the van on the inside.
Okay, so, okay.
That was something else we did wrong. Is we actually insulated the van.
Okay,
because we were. One of the other people told us to do that, so I don't know why.
Okay.
Insulated the van and completely blocked ourselves from every single access point that we could actually attach equipment to.
Oh, no.
Because it would block. Yeah, so it was all. So that was a mistake. So we paid to insulate it, and then later on we
just tore it out?
Just tore it out, yeah.
That's so, awesome.
Yeah, nice.
So, that's how you learn, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Won't do that again.
So then I imagine you're on somewhat of a roller coaster where you build up to the point where your people are all full and your equipment's being used full, I guess, or full capacity. So you have to add another van.
Right.
But then there's another $80,000, another employee.
Right.
And now you have to build that person back up.
Right.
To full capacity and then rinse, repeat every single employee as you grow.
Right.
So I know with my business with calls on call, we have the same thing, right? You build up to a point, need another receptionist, and oh, great. Right. Now we're essentially subsidizing them, so we have to build up to a point.
Right.
And there comes when you're at the tip of that roller coaster, you're like, no, we're okay with you starting 6 months later.
Right.
But with carpet cleaning, something that can be both B2C and B2B,
right.
That's that may be more of a challenge. So can you touch on that a little?
Well, there's a couple different challenges in that regard. We just purchased another van here in the fall. So
okay, hopefully cheaper than 15%.
Yeah, no, a lot cheaper. So, and I have a banking relationship now, so that's really helpful. I am looking for the sweet spot to stick at for a little bit,
okay,
and then be able to recover before you go to the next.
Sure,
because it's not all incremental. At some point, I can't purchase another 10% of a office manager and
Right.
So, I want to. I'm probably going to be at about 8 vans at my current location.
Okay,
and at that point, I'll probably reassess a little bit, maybe.
Sure.
And maybe pause for a little bit, but
8 vans, that's got to take up some space though as well, right?
It does.
So is there a limitation just in facility to house those things overnight?
Well, because they have to be to be indoors.
Yep. Sure.
So we've got the space for 8. It takes a little bit moving around, but
sure.
I've been to some of our other sister franchises. They've got they're huge in Atlanta and Minneapolis, and
okay.
I think at one point Minneapolis had one guy's entire job was just to get vans in and out of the door of the facility.
Wow!
So yeah, just like an airplane controller.
Sure,
that was because they didn't want to ding them up too bad.
All right.
But
well, that's incredible. So I
think they had like 60 some vans. they're all going out in the morning. So sure. It's like that's a big operation.
Wow.
So, we're not that big. We won't be that big by next year, but we'll get there.
Okay,
so.
The goal is to head that direction.
Yeah, 60 is a little, it's Minneapolis. So.
All right. So tell me about the water. Zero res, you use your own water, but are you making the water? Is that something that you have to have imported in from?
So this is a known technology, but we've got the patent for using it in truck-mounted carpet cleaning.
Okay.
The original technology started from, they were making a disinfecting water, mostly for like food processing plants. And I think they use it in schools for cleaning and prisons. Places where you need to have the cleaning and disinfecting, but you don't want to have chemicals.
Okay.
You don't want chemicals in a prison. Mm-hmm. You don't want chemicals in a school.
Mm-hmm.
So they found out that they were throwing away. So that water it's got an electrical charge to it, and that particular water. So we make two different types of water.
Mm-hmm.
One's highly alkaline. The other one's highly acidic.
Okay.
You can drink them both.
Okay.
So they're safe for us.
Sure.
But the highly acidic water is also got an electrical charge, so it goes up to a bacteria molecule and it breaks down the bacteria molecule's cellular wall,
mm-hmm.
and it shoots a little piece of free available chlorine across the gap and kills it.
Okay.
So on a hard surface, it kills everything virtually on contact.
Okay.
Now, technically, in the carpet cleaning industry, you can't say anybody disinfects a carpet.
Oh.
So we're using a disinfecting water, but it's
sure.
super sanitizing the carpet.
Okay.
So
how come you can't say you're disinfecting the carpet?
Because it's a porous. Carpet's porous. And
gotcha.
That's just, you can never be 100% sure.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
They just want to, that's probably a good rule.
All right.
So that's a known technology. They're using that for years and years, and they're throwing away this other component. The other component is an amazing cleaner for carpets,
okay,
and for upholstery and tile. So it's got a high alkaline. It also has a charge on it, and it's a natural surfactant. So that means there's no there's less water tension.
Okay.
So the water if you put it like tap water up on the counter, it's going to bead up.
Mm-hmm.
If you put our water on the countertop, it's going to slide off.
So it's
slipperier water.
Okay.
So it's easier for it to go through the carpet fibers. At the same time, the charge is pulling the soil, pulling
gotcha.
The dirt from the fiber.
Okay.
It also acts like a soap. So
okay.
it saponifies the the oil. So oil gets on the carpet, and then dirt sticks to the oil, and then mm-hmm. everything starts to scratch, and then you get that walk area gray. Mm-hmm. So when our water hits the oil, if you think normal water hits oil, the oil and water repel each other. They mm-hmm. want anything to do with each other. So mm-hmm. our water hits the oil, it completely changes the property of the oil.
Huh.
And it then just comes along with the in the vacuum hose.
Okay.
Here, come along with me. Let's see what's at the other end of this hose.
All right.
So pulls the oil, pulls the soil out. And then
sure.
and then the perfect thing about it is that it just self-neutralizes. So
okay.
once it's had its had its charge, it's hit, it's done its job,
mm-hmm.
then it goes from a very high pH to just our neutral pH.
Sure. Interesting.
So you don't have to come in and rinse the carpet mm-hmm. super, get it soaking wet, rinsing it.
Sure.
Trying to get the carpet back to neutral.
Gotcha.
So bad things happen if it's not back to neutral. So you need to get it back to neutral.
Okay. So are you using two types of water then with each job?
So we do, we primarily use the cleaning solution, and that's okay. what the patent is for, our cleaning solution.
Sure.
We primarily use that on most jobs. But if we've got any biological issues, if there's pet issues,
sure.
or, a lot of times we will also just spray it if we do like daycares or something,
okay.
or assisted living or something.
So you're doing spots with the other kind, more or less?
Yeah.
Okay.
Typically, we're using it in pet treatments.
Gotcha. Okay.
So.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting. So are you, do you make this water on site?
Yep.
Or
yep.
In your shop?
Yep. We got a big machine that's sitting there running basically 24/7, and it's being monitored by the manufacturer. So
okay.
if anything gets out of spec, they can adjust it.
So that, like, you connect this machine to Wi-Fi or something like that?
Through the internet, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, so they're on the other end.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So, because it's the most important part of our
sure,
business.
Right,
so
right.
if the water doesn't work, then we're like,
yeah.
What
do we do now?
What do we do? Right.
All right.
So,
so are you bringing in essentially city water, changing it through this machine and equipment that's monitored remotely?
Yep.
And then you pump that from huge tank into your individual vans?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Every morning. So we're pumping that water. We bring our water with us.
Okay.
And when we run out of water, we're done.
It's a bad day. Okay.
Yeah. But typically we've got enough. We've got two big tanks, so we don't really run out of water.
I was going to say, that adds another another piece to your scheduling then, because you also have to make sure that you actually have enough water in the van.
Right. Well, the only time we typically wouldn't is if we're going to do a large commercial job.
Okay.
In which case, we've got that pre-planned.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So
okay.
we'll take, hey, this needs two vans.
Sure.
We do a very large student housing building
okay.
that are in during the turnover, and
sure.
we bring all five of our vans there. All
right.
So.
Just bang them out. Yeah. Nice. So I imagine, how much water are you carrying on each van?
About 220 gallons.
220? And is I'm trying to think, a gallon of water is 6 pounds or 8 pounds?
I think it's 9 pounds.
Is it really?
I could be wrong.
Oh, that's a lot of weight.
I could be wrong.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so we do go through, so we go through some components on a van that I was unaware of. So
like springs and shocks or like
yeah.
axles?
Yeah, with no, not axles. Knock on wood. Not axles. Springs, shocks.
All right.
Control arms, tires.
Okay.
So there's some unusual, yeah. So there are some stresses on it.
I imagine if a guy is, say, midway through his day and that tank is half full and he's taking an on-ramp, he can feel that water moving the van, I bet.
Well, yeah, not that much.
No?
It's okay. It's an extended van. I mean, it's a pretty beastie van. So
sure. So I have my CDL and we had to take this test and they asked this question about if you have a tanker truck that's food grade, so it doesn't have baffles in it.
Right.
And you're taking this on-ramp onto the interstate, let's say. And a car comes up to you, and they painted this scenario where the weight of the trailer was normally on the outside since you were taking a right-hand curve.
Right.
But you had all of a sudden make a turn that was counter to that. So you're fighting the water, whatever was in there, sloshing milk, whatever. What do you do kind of thing?
That must be for a lot more than 220 gallons.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah, big
well,
tanker truck, I guess.
110 gallons of it is directly in the middle.
Okay.
Of the van. So
it's not
that doesn't really, so we've got one on the right-hand side, but we've got counterbalancing weight on the other side.
All right. So they can autocross these things.
Yeah. So, right.
Nice.
So that part's interesting. So I was telling you one of the other mistakes we made early on was there was the compressed natural gas craze, and I don't know if it's over. It's over for us.
I would say it's not over yet.
No, not over yet. But it had all the right ideas because it was it was going to be greener and this made more sense. Gas was over $4 a gallon, so
So we're talking a few years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe 3 years ago.
Okay.
Maybe. So we actually planned where our new location is for our shop based on the fact we were next to Quick Trip, and Quick Trip's got virtually all their stations had both CNG and regular gas.
So sure.
I don't know if they still do. I'm sure they still do. But
sure.
So we planned it based on that. And then, so we it was like a $14,000 retrofit, but that was going to pay for itself, and it was the better, you know, better concept.
As, sure.
So $14,000 to renovate it.
To convert one van.
To convert one van.
Okay, yep. So now you got a $94,000 van.
Yeah, so right.
All right.
Still have that van. So then it got from point A to point B fine.
Okay.
It worked beautifully the way it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But in our for our vans, there's a couple different ways they have carpet cleaning. They got some that slide out. They're separate units that you have to put gas in and stuff. But ours works off of the... off of the engine. So that's what propels the machine.
Well, so you have a drive shaft coming from transmission to your the machine.
Right, a PTO. Okay. So that so when we're the van doesn't shut off when we're at the at the house.
Sure.
So it's idling at a higher rate. And we were burning through a lot of components and specifically several catalytic converters.
Oh.
And eventually GM said, "Hey, you know, you modified this, and it turns out that if the van was burning, the CNG was burning too purely for our application.
Oh.
So
like the catalytic converter got too hot?
Yeah, and other components.
Okay.
so we had
engines components?
Yeah, other different components.
Like burning up pistons and stuff like that?
They didn't burn a piston, no.
Okay.
But other expensive things.
Okay.
So we'll have to get a map of an engine out, and I'll show you what
else. Sure, okay. I used to be a mechanic, so I love talking about
this
stuff.
Stop at my shop more often.
Though. All right.
so that wasn't good. So I still have, hey, if anyone's interested, I've got a graphite CNG tank that I...
That's awesome.
So it's doing nothing right now. So,
oh.
Yeah, so that was $14,000. I actually had a second one on order, and I had to pay $3,000 for a restocking fee.
For you got to put this back on the shelf.
Yeah, so just to get out of it. But it was still probably a good decision in the long run. So I prefer to be doing this, but we haven't. That issue has not been solved for us.
Interesting. And that's purely because you're running the carpet cleaning stuff off the engine.
Right.
Which makes sense. The way things were with gas, but you try to do the cleaner thing.
Right. It was going A to B fine. So,
sure.
So there's a lot of other applications. I'm sure that
the
CNG is still, and I'm, you know, once the gas prices go up, this is going to be back in.
Sure.
Am I $14,000 CNG components are going to be worth double.
20-year payout.
Worth double. Right.
That's awesome. So. All right. Well, what other challenges have you run into with your business? Assuming there's just a couple, right?
Yeah, there's quite a few. Let's see. Well, the access to money was the bigger one. It's you know, it's not unforeseen.
Sure.
Of course, but so our business is seasonal.
Okay.
Really? And it's kind of interesting. I mean, a lot of
No, tell me about that with the seasonality cuz I'm curious about that.
So we're a little slower January through March.
Oh. Okay.
So, which is pretty typical for the industry. So a lot of guys, like guys in my industry, if they're a one van guy, which
many are,
most of them are. So they're one van guys. They'll take off and go to Florida for the season.
All right.
So other people will just lay their if you're a lot of companies lay. People off during this sort of season, so
construction,
just like landscaping,
asphalt,
things like that.
Sure,
you're trying to find some other jobs for them, but if you can't, you lay them off. So I haven't done that. Trying not to do that. Still determined not to do that.
Sure.
But so we try to do. We're finding other. We're trying to make a bigger push for commercial projects during that time of year, and we're trying not to. We don't have to make money. We're just trying not to lose as much during January through March. So, right? You know, oddly, our franchise in Phoenix has got the exact opposite. You know, it's July through September.
It's just too hot.
It's too hot.
You're letting
it's
all the air miserable. Conditioning out.
Okay. Yeah, but they tell me that the temperatures that they're working in is just unbelievable. So,
uh-huh.
So our guys work when it's hot and when it's cold, but
sure.
I don't think, you know, I don't think I could work if it's 120 degrees.
That's
and the vans get hotter.
I suppose you run into other issues then.
Right, opposite issues probably. So yeah, so the access to money was big, and I had one other kind of a blip on that where because I have the seasonality, mm-hmm. I said, you know, I need to have a line of credit or get some access to cover me through these months.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not letting people go and then trying to retrain people. And
sure.
That's just a bad deal.
Yep.
So I talked to a bank. I met a banker out at the Wisconsin Brewing Company. Or whatever.
Sure.
And this guy was, you're exactly the size company. I was sent here
sure.
to, I was sent here just for this, and you know, you're
it's you peanut guys butter are and chocolate coming together. We're,
right. This is awesome. This is a no brainer.
Sure. You
lock it up, count it in, da 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 da. So
sure.
So stupidly I did. I probably was being a little bit lazy about it. I thought, well, good, that's off my plate. I got that, you know. I don't
sure.
need to go make two or three different contacts in case this doesn't work.
Right.
So and then it really unusually probably told you this. I've told so many people the story. Really unusually, that didn't come together, and I was really in a bad spot. It didn't come together because of a loan. I missed a payment on a loan. Basically, it comes down to me purchasing a $300 lawnmower purchase at a big box store ended up costing me $15,000.
Oh!
So I needed a lawnmower, went with my dad. They said, hey, 10% off if you sign up for the big box card
sure.
today. And plus, there's no payments for 6 months. And I'm like, no, this never works out well for me.
Sure.
My dad goes, hey, don't you like money? What are you? What's,
no, it's you 30, hate money.
$30. And
sure.
then, but you don't have to pay for 6 months. And so the only true part about that, and to no one's fault, I mean, the guy was doing it, not trying to trick people. But the only part that was true is the 10% off. You didn't have to not pay for 6 months.
Okay.
And, you know, I get all sorts of banking stuff in the mail. You
sure.
From all the units. So I'm throwing them all away like they're junk mail.
Yeah.
Most of them are credit cards
sure.
you don't need, all sorts
yep,
of stuff.
Yep.
You're pre-approved. So I'm throwing all that stuff away. Well, actually, a couple of those were, you know, real bills
oh.
that I was supposed to pay. So I ended up missing two payments on this $300 lawnmower, which I don't know what they could have been. You know,
sure,
I don't
50
know.
Bucks?
50 bucks? I don't
sure.
know. So, and because of that, the killer loan guy that was sent here just to, you know,
sure.
just to set the world on fire, and that was, my financials are in perfect shape. Everything's going to be great.
Yeah.
Because of this missed payment on a $300 lawnmower, they rejected my loan because of that.
All right.
And then I was left without a dance partner. And so I'm looking at, I got to make payroll.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a plan B,
oh.
which was really dumb. So
sure.
you need to have
right.
a couple different lending relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I think even if one's going good,
yep.
you got to have a backup. So
mm-hmm.
I didn't have a backup. Big mistake. So my backup ended up being, a lot of people don't know this company, but a lot of people that do are just going to laugh. So my backup ended up being a company called On Deck.
Okay.
A couple guys that were super smart that said we're not lending money at these usury rates.
Sure.
We are purchasing your future sales.
Okay.
So just by wordsmithing it, their interest rate was 25%.
Oh.
Plus they had I don't think they could have called it a loan origination fee because supposedly it wasn't really a whatever. Anyway, there was plus an origination fee.
Sure.
Plus, you couldn't pay it off early. I was like, "Oh, that's fine.
You could
business
not pay
picks,
it off early.
My business picks up in
sure.
you know whatever. So I'll just get this just for a couple months. And then you could if you're in, you're in for the year.
All right.
So,
It's like business loan bail bondsman.
$15,000 in it. That basically, the lawnmower cost me $15,000. My own stupidity cost me $15,000.
Do you still have that lawnmower?
I still do. I look at it all the time. This doesn't look like a $15,000 lawnmower, but it makes for a great story. But nice. It doesn't look like a $15,000 lawnmower. Now, in addition, I get the added bonus that because I was, this company did hundreds of millions of dollars. There was a big article in Forbes about these two guys.
Oh, really?
Living it up. So that spawned about 1,000 other companies like them. And I get the pleasure of dealing with 5 of those phone calls per day.
Oh, sure.
Hey, you've been pre-approved for $500,000. Why wouldn't you want to have
25% interest? Yeah,
right.
A huge prepayment penalty.
But wait, I pay my bills. Why am I paying 25%
sure.
for the people that don't? But they didn't care.
Dang.
So, yeah. So that hurt.
All right.
Those are a couple big hits. So you're wondering, how in the world is this guy still in business?
No. I can tell you. From my experience, I've certainly made a decent volume of mistakes, and I will probably make a decent volume more. Half my book is about mistakes that myself and other people have made, right? And I can tell you just from doing the show and just talking to other business people, it is unheard of to not have a business owner that has not made any mistakes. If they say that they haven't made any, they're lying.
Right.
That's how it is.
Well, scary thing is I've heard so many stories from people that even when they think they've got a good banking relationship, you don't really know.
Right.
You don't really know until something bad happens. Mm-hmm. And so in that last downturn in the economy, a lot of people's relationships changed. Or the bank or credit union or financial institution that you thought was going to be there for you all of a sudden wasn't when you really needed them
sure.
to be.
Yeah.
And that, that hurt a lot of people.
Yeah.
So
I try to tell people to get their line of credit or their loan when things are going well.
Right.
Because you don't want to call on the people to help you build a wall when the flood is already present, right?
Right, right, right.
Build the dam ahead of time. Right. And it's way easier then.
And have a plan B.
right. Because bankers will always be happy at the networking event, right? They'll be your best friend.
Right.
Until something like this happens. And they're like, something outside of my control.
Right.
I don't know what we can do here, blah, 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 blah. Right. So it's an interesting relationship on both ends. One, when they're trying to sell you, and then two, when they're trying to tap dance their way out of your office.
It seems crazy to me. I'm not, I obviously don't understand it as well as I should, but it seems like at a certain point, the companies are so big that they're lending money, they're fighting over just crumbs of an interest rate, right?
Yep.
So,
yep.
And then they could be making, much more interest on companies that are in solid shape.
Yeah.
They're just, I think that's the next business.
A legitimate bank.
so everyone's heard these stories where you couldn't get people that had, $5 million in assets, but they weren't liquid.
Sure.
Yep. And they're retired. So they don't have an income stream.
Mm-hmm.
Could not get a loan for like $100,000 based on $5 million in assets. Real assets. So it's like, I'd lend on that. I mean, if I had what does it take to get into a banking business?
Right, I don't know. So
could be easier than carpet cleaning, maybe.
It might be.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I wonder, you when you're talking about getting started, did you put together a business plan or did ZeroRes help you with a business plan? Do they have a cookie cutter kind of thing?
Right. So all the franchises had a cookie card cutter thing set up to make it as easy as possible for you to write them a check.
Sure. Okay.
So
follow the dollar sign.
Right.
There it is.
And I got to say, I'm primarily pretty happy with my relationship, but it's a franchise, and there's if you're talk to enough people, they're definitely. There's definitely trade-offs.
Sure.
So I get a lot of help. The biggest help I get, thankfully, is the community of other ZeroRes franchisees.
Mm, sure.
So this is maybe an unintended benefit, but I own the majority of the Madison franchise. But in reality, I'm all over the state. There's no other ZeroRes here yet.
Sure.
So I don't have anybody right in my backyard that I'm competing with.
Okay.
So the franchise is not not going to, they can't, mm-hmm. not going to set up another franchise
right
down the street for me.
Sure.
So every single Zero Res franchise, I can pick up the phone and call any other owner in the country, and they'll pick up the phone and talk to me.
Oh, nice.
So everyone's helping each other. You know, I don't know if it's going to be that way in 20 years from now. When
sure.
But
I hope so.
You know, right now, it's been invaluable. So everyone's
sure.
good people.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Did you, when you were going through the process of vetting them, did you ever consider just starting Brad's Awesome Carpet Cleaning?
No, never. That was the only reason that this made sense at all from the get-go was the fact that they had this patented process. It was completely unique.
Gotcha.
And completely, it was definitely the future of how this was going to be done. So
if it wasn't the Zero Res franchise, it would have been some other franchise.
Probably.
Possibly or likely not even in carpet cleaning.
Oh, most likely not in carpet. It would never have been in carpet cleaning if it wasn't for this.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it was.
That's interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So the unique selling proposition, the unique technology that this company had.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, yeah, this is, there's nothing else like it.
Yeah.
You know, if people want, it seems like people want it to be healthier.
Right.
In the future, this, mm-hmm. they want to be greener. This seems to be aligned with where everything's going.
Mm-hmm.
This makes sense. So.
I want to go back. It's so interesting, the financial aspect, because you see restaurants come and go, right?
Right.
And I'm like, somebody's getting a loan for hundreds of thousands of dollars to modify that building or to add their little vents and stoves and all that kind of stuff, to hire their staff. It's got to be big money and risky money. Where I see from my point of view, I just have this experience that there's two types of businesses that I can see people can almost print money. That seems to be cleaning of any kind. And lawn care of any kind.
Lawn care.
Because, I mean, like, dirt doesn't go away regardless of economy.
Right.
And grass grows regardless of economy. And there are a lot of people that do not want to take care of dirt and do not want to take care of grass.
Right.
So you see a lot of businesses that just do well and even do well despite themselves and the mistakes that they've made. So it's interesting how a bank would be like, oh, I'm not sure if carpet cleaning's a thing, right? It just blows my mind.
I'm not sure what happens behind the scenes with that. We're not printing money, so
sure.
it's a
okay.
we're at a healthy, yeah, we're at a pretty healthy pace. So here's the other thing that I've also learned from, I should have learned long ago.
Sure.
But I learned from Brava and I knew this going into Zero Res.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be the one van guy,
mm-hmm.
and you can just.
Sure.
Get it. There's hardworking guys out there and
very.
Making a living.
Mm-hmm.
You could be the one van guy and survive.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be the two or three van guy. So if you're two or three vans, you're just in the
mess.
Yeah. You either gotta be on the small side or you gotta have some scale.
All
right. Right in the middle ground is you know, you're just bloodied.
Okay.
So and it's the same thing with a lot of businesses, I think.
Sure.
So you're just you can either be that one, but as soon as you start to get some scale, you don't have any cost efficiencies until you get much larger.
All right. So tell me about that a little bit specifically with the, because I imagine carpet cleaning, you see this all the time where guys start to like add another van. They were one guy in one van. Now they're two guys, two vans, and they think, hey, I'm on top of the world. We doubled business.
Well, I don't think there's that many that are two or three van operations.
Okay.
So they're like, they're one van. It's them and their brother, or
sure.
whatever, and they're just the small family cleaning
sure.
sort of thing.
Sure.
But if you are, you know, for our size operation, there's just a lot more overhead.
Okay.
As soon as you hire an administrative person,
mm-hmm.
get a mm-hmm. letting people schedule online, and there's a lot of. Just a lot of fixed costs.
Sure.
You're not going to recover those until you've got some scale.
Sure.
So
then the cost per job for rent of building
right.
or admin person
right.
or whatever.
So every extra dollar, so they always say sales can kind of cover up a lot of mistakes.
But. Sure. So, right to a point.
Right. Revenue, right. So. Right.
Sure.
So.
Are you needed in the business every day?
Myself?
Yeah.
I think my admin asked me that once in a while.
Yeah. I was going to say, this is an answer from you, not from your employees, right?
Yeah.
Because they're like, get him out of here.
Right, right. Well, I'm, like everyone, I'm trying to do what's do less of what's urgent and more of what's important.
Sure.
And I'm trying to make sure, and it doesn't work like that every day.
Sure.
But, and that's what I'm working towards. So I've got longer range things I need to be working on.
Okay.
That are going to continue to improve the foundation of the company.
Sure.
So that's not to say if something blows up, gets bigger, or mm-hmm. we've got some project, I'll jump out and work on a project.
Sure.
So
could
not
you,
that often, but
could you go on vacation for a week and not worry about your business not existing when you come back?
Well, that's more of a psychological thing than than reality, right?
Sure.
So I've got a manager that's awesome too. So I probably could.
Okay.
In reality, I could. You know, emotionally.
But you just don't? Sure.
Emotionally, I'm not sure. So,
all right, that's fair. So that's fair.
Got to work on that a little bit too. But right, so you want to be able to have less control. So every single day, I'm like, hey, if I got hit by a truck, would you know how to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
you know, so if I'm
and
not
what's the
so
answer?
I'm not here. Well, we're not. You know, not everyone's 100% up to.
Sure.
That's what we're working towards. Where I don't.
All right.
I want to be involved, but mm-hmm. I don't want to have to be, I don't want to have to be tied
right.
to being there every single day for the set number of hours.
Sure.
So
that's awesome.
So there's some things I'm always going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. No, that's incredible. It's interesting talking to people when you talk to the one-man shows where they're just like, you have to be it because if you break your leg, you're out of business.
Right.
It's tough to clean carpets when you have a broken leg. And, you know, one skiing accident, and you just lost your livelihood.
Right.
Whereas in the case when you grow to a point that you can break your leg and it'll be a bad day or a bad 8 weeks or something of that nature, but the people that are relying on you for their paycheck, they can still get their jobs done,
right.
get paid, move about their business,
right.
get carpets cleaned and all that jazz. So
the most important thing they're concerned about is, am I there that day to do the payroll.
Sure.
Don't forget
these checks.
Don't forget the payroll.
So I have a few questions that I'd like to ask my guests. So do you mind if I grill you a couple?
Sure.
All right. First one is, do you have a process for making decisions?
No.
No. Okay. Mostly see to your pants or gut check or just the pro-con list or anything of that nature?
I'm not sure if it's just an easy out, but I read the book Blink.
Oh, sure. By Malcolm Gladwell.
So, yeah.
Great
so,
book. Yeah.
I'm kind of trying to go by the gut.
Sure.
Because I realized I'm trying to do better on my processes.
Okay.
I'm a sales guy at heart. So I've always been a sales guy. So
sure.
I haven't always done the processing part or
all right.
as well as
just
I should.
Turn in the sale and let the people take care of it, right?
Well, right. So, no, not exactly like that. But so I have to get better at that regardless. But
sure.
I think my gut feel on a lot of things are important.
All right.
So.
All right. Nice. Do you have a favorite business book?
Well, of course, the E-Myth is a
E-Myth,
a good
great
one.
Book, yep.
There are a lot of great books, so they're just like movies. It's hard. I can never just pick one. And
sure.
Next time I'm like, oh, I should have said this instead. So
I'll give you that.
Oh, there, it's the Bold Business Book. Oh my gosh.
You totally
teed that up for me, and I flailed.
That was not intentional. I meant to give that to you in the beginning.
Sorry about that.
So that's presuming that you read.
Yeah, I do read. I do like.
So there's a lot of business owners don't. So most do. The smart ones do.
I want to start getting on audiobooks though.
The Bold Business Book is out as an audiobook. So yeah, if you're on Audible, it's there.
I teed that up for you.
That's perfect. Okay. Oh. I was going to ask you what the most expensive mistake you've made in business is, but I think we already did that.
$15,000. Well, I'll tell you what.
There's more?
Yeah. So,
oh, there's a worse one? That's awesome.
Well, there's a couple quick ones. One is don't get a lease for a building without having an attorney look it over.
Sure. Okay.
So that seems obvious, right?
All
seems
right.
obvious. But sometimes you're doing stuff, good relationships,
sure.
you feel good, everything's going
mm-hmm.
well, and you're going to be friends forever.
Right.
And so don't get a lease without having mm-hmm. a lawyer look at it.
All right.
The other really interesting one, again, that I probably should have known. I thought I was kind of a step ahead, but a contract is only as good as your ability to financially enforce it.
Sure.
So it seems obvious when you hear it. I had a contract that I felt pretty good about,
mm-hmm.
but in reality, I didn't have the money to enforce it, so it didn't matter.
Enforce it like being able to do a legal challenge kind of
right.
thing?
Right. Okay. Right. When it comes down to it, if you don't have the money to to see that through,
sure,
than the fact that you've got the, that you're in the right, or you got the contract that, hey, I got the contract.
Sure.
That doesn't matter. You got the contract. You,
yep,
you got the money,
yep,
to enforce the contract. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the money to enforce the contract. So that was interesting.
That's fair.
So that comes into mind. If I think about, you think about companies that sell and they go, oh, I'm going to sell my company, and because of taxes, I'll just take this, I'll just take X amount of money every year for 10 years or something. That'd be super scary,
mm-hmm,
because even if you had a contract, that if you're on the small side of the money pile,
right,
and somebody else goes, ah, you didn't tell me about these other issues here, mm-hmm, or something, then you're really out of luck.
Right.
So I think about that and go, that's, you know, that's something I didn't know about.
Right.
Another, you know, very interesting.
Yeah.
So that was a big mistake.
Okay.
Not right, totally understanding that was a big mistake. So, but other than that, it's the $15,000 lawnmower.
Nice. So. It's a sweet lawnmower. It's interesting you say that about the contract thing, because over the course of time with my businesses, I've taken a few people to court.
Yeah.
And it's been, at first, it's interesting because you're so, like, why aren't these people paying me? This is an injustice to the world. I have to take them to the court on principle. But the amount of time, money, and energy that you're throwing at this stuff.
Right.
And then you win, and then the court says, go get your money. And I remember thinking, like, what was I doing here? Like, I'd been trying to get my money. That's why we're here.
Right.
And you just run through those challenges. I remember, actually, I still got this thing going on. We won a court case, and we put a lien on the guy's property because he still didn't pay us. And then he stopped paying his mortgage. So then the bank sends a letter to me and everybody else that was after this guy for money. I think they still are. Says, thanks for putting that lien on there. We're going to go ahead and take this off unless you sue us. Like, when does this end? I feel like the
right,
system's got a little bit of...
Am I supposed to get a check here at some,
yeah,
point? Right.
I feel like something's wrong something's with the system.
Something's not fair. The system's not fair.
Yeah. This, yeah, guy's living in a $500,000 house for free.
Right.
And I'm thinking, like, who's smarter here? Right. I'm living in a smaller house that I'm paying for.
Right.
This guy's living for free in this $500,000 mansion.
Well, you're definitely at a disadvantage if you've got ethics.
Yeah,
but,
right,
you know, but I can't imagine doing it otherwise. But
no,
it's certainly
interesting, right?
If you didn't really care if you screwed people, whatever, it'd be a lot easier.
Yeah, it kind of it seems like it would. It's frustrating. So I got another question for you. We got a few minutes here. If you knew that success in one new idea in your business was guaranteed, right? So you have an idea, you got a few ideas rolling around, but let's just pick one.
You could have given these to me earlier, you know.
I could have, so, but I like something more authentic.
All right.
I like to give them more. You don't chat with your friends over a beer, right?
You said it wouldn't be complicated.
It is not. I want to say, what is one of these ideas, if you were guaranteed success, that you would implement today or tomorrow? We're getting late. Because you get a lot of ideas, right?
Right.
Right, for growth, but you know you can't do all of them.
Right.
It's just not feasible from a time point of view. And there's a risk for every idea, right? So can you think of any one of these ideas that if you knew you'd be successful, you would implement?
I'd be a banker.
I love that. That's high five there. I'll take that.
All right.
I'll take that. What is your least favorite thing about owning a business?
I think what I'm hardest at, it's the most gratifying, mm-hmm, when it works out, but
sure,
the hardest thing that I'm not that good at is managing people.
Gotcha.
So okay. I probably beat myself up more than I deserve on it, but
sure,
I just wish it is definitely definitely a challenge. So
I can tell you're in good company there. I'm listening to the biography of Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
And Steve Jobs has this kind of aura about him, right? He's almost a messiah.
Well, we hung out all the time, Steve.
Right. And he was a jerk. Just like terrible, terrible, terrible person when it came to interacting with people.
Really?
Bizarre. Like to an enormous fault. An enormous fault.
So maybe I'm doing it backwards. Maybe
so
I
keep thinking like, holy cow, man, this guy's celebrated in the end because he made some computers, but there's a lot of companies that make computers, right?
Right.
If people actually learned about the backstory, I don't know if he'd be celebrated that much.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw that movie. I need to see that movie.
Oh, I never saw the Steve Jobs movie. This is a biography.
Okay.
It's 26 CDs, so holy cow.
Okay.
I'm only at 1986, and I'm already thinking the guy's a jerk.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how you're like, oh, man, I don't know how to manage, right? But you got good people. You're doing better than Steve Jobs, and he seemed to do okay.
So obviously not.
Well, he, yeah.
Maybe, you know, maybe he was just, maybe not every single thing needs to be contemplated. Maybe sometimes you're just like, ah, that's the way it is.
Sure.
Maybe, I gotta say, that's the way it is more often.
Maybe. Maybe. So. Yeah. It'd be tough to say for sure.
Rather than trying to weigh everything, make sure everything comes out perfectly even.
Right.
On, it's
right.
Like, ah, that's just the way it is.
No, there's a challenge, right? Because you, well, both of us really are on the backside of our business, right?
Right.
So it's the front end people that know the reality of what's going on. So when we think, hey, this is how it's got to be because this is how it should be. And the front end people are like, well, no, reality is this.
Right.
And they throw you a curveball like, how can reality be that way? Why is reality? Why didn't you tell me reality was like that 6 months ago?
Right. Well, the other thing is I like to be, you know, I'm not a control freak, but I like to be in control a little bit. So
sure.
If I'm getting, if I hear input from the front lines,
mm-hmm.
It's really valuable to hear that. Mm-hmm. I want to understand. I'm not going to try to make a decision over the top of someone that's on the front line.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's also frustrating that I'm
right.
not there to personally
right.
have that same experience
mm-hmm.
because I have to completely trust somebody else,
right.
which is a hard thing.
Totally. So. Completely. Right. So it comes down to the power of employees, right? But it makes no sense to run a company like this or like mine without employees.
Right. So and my guys are, I'm super lucky to have the guys I have.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that because I don't trust my guys. It's like, I'm just.
Wait a second.
It's just, you know, trying to, yeah. Just trying to give up the control. Which is
nice. No, I completely okay. understand. Completely understand. Okay, so I got one more question for you. Let's see here. I'm trying to pick which one I should use here.
The easy one?
I feel like there's so many questions I want to ask you in regards to financing, but I feel like every banker listening to this would just be
severe. They said that there'd be no math.
Yeah. What is the biggest thing that you've learned in starting a business? Outside of being careful with lawnmowers. Or what would you, if someone were to tell you, let's put it a different way, right? If someone were to walk up to you, right? Let's say, do you have kids?
Yeah, I've got two kids.
Okay, so let's say one of your kids came up to you. Are they older, younger?
Both older, yeah.
Okay, so let's say one of them came to you and they say, hey, Dad, I'm thinking about starting a business. What would you tell them? Advice wise.
Well, it's a big jump when you decide to have employees for a lot of reasons. So
sure.
It's, but once you've had once you have one employee, you might as well have keep on going.
All right.
It's just like kids. It doesn't double the work to have two employees, but once you've it's a big change to have an employee. It changes everything that you do.
So, all right. All right.
So I would say
yeah. So get employees. Get employees. If you do nothing else, get employees.
No, I didn't say that. I said if you're gonna have one, then you might as well, you know, keep on going. But it's a big decision, right? Am I gonna be an independent, my own company, myself,
right.
independent consultant?
Sure.
Or am I gonna have a company? And a company means there's a lot of levels to employees.
You add some moving parts, make some more money.
Yeah,
I like it. Right. That's awesome. Well, Brad, thank you for coming.
Thanks for inviting me.
We're going to fire up some music here and have a good time. This has been Authentic Business Adventures. I'm just laughing so hard about the $15,000 lawnmower. The business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios Radio. Oh my goodness, if I could talk. Coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios Radio, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. I feel like I'm doing my audiobook all over again. I am James Kademan, business coach at Drouton Customers Business Coaching and author of the Bold Business Book. We'd like to thank you, our listeners, and our guest, Brad Zog of Zero Res Carpet Cleaners of Madison. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. We can also be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link on droughtoncustomers.com. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.